ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builder Show. Today, I speak with Michael Berasavsky from Domain Magnate. Domain Magnate is a micro private equity firm, which essentially means that they acquire, manage, and grow websites for individuals, but also as part of a fund. So they've recently ended a fund not so long ago now. That was a £500,000 fund that ran for about a year and a half. And they managed to make a 135% return on investment as part of that fund, which is not bad going. And they're currently raising money for a second fund up to $10 million, with a minimum of $1.5 million as the size of the fund. So they can afford to invest in larger websites and just have a bigger fund overall with a bigger return for their investors. So that's a big part of what they do. They'll raise money for this fund and manage sites. They'll also offer a buy and manage service. So they'll buy a website on your behalf and manage the website on an ongoing basis for you and just do all that due diligence around there. And a number of different aspects that come with building and growing sites we talk about. So Michael's been in this business for over 10 years now, and he's done hundreds of deals in terms of website deals. So we talk about his experience with that and the ups and downs of website investing, and also just many of the reasons why investing in online business is a good idea or actually a good investment. So without further ado, I will stop talking and let's get on with the show.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builder Show. Today, I have Michael Berasavsky from Domain Magnate. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, Mark. Good to be here.
Yeah, so where else are you based at the moment, Michael?
I'm currently in Chiang Mai, Thailand.
How are you? Okay. So the hub of SEO, yeah. Right?
What about you?
So I'm based in Reading, in England. So about 30 miles west of London or so. But most of our team are actually based in southern Wales or South Wales. So not too far from me, but I'm about the only one that's kind of English out of everybody that's in the
We have actually two people in our team who are English, but they both don't live in England. I'm not sure if that's a thing with English people not wanting to live there.
Yeah, maybe. Depends which part of England, but yeah. There's plenty of people. So how long have you lived there?
I haven't lived in Chiang Mai. I mean, it's been about 4 years on and off, so I used to live in Israel, and then I decided to live in some point and traveled around a little bit and just found myself settling in Chiang Mai because there was a nice community of SEOs, lots of business people, entrepreneurs, and it's a very easy lifestyle. Now, of course, everything has changed with COVID.
Yeah. So you kind of got it late as well, didn't you? Because you spent a lot of time not in lockdown, as I understand it, in Thailand.
Yeah. I'm lucky that I already kind of had what was kind of more settled by the time the lockdown started. So I was just, I've spent a couple of years traveling around the world. So I satisfied my travel bug, and I just had a kind of a more settled setup here in a long-term visa in Thailand. So, and many people haven't had that privilege. So I'm kind of quite fortunate in that. And I could just stay here for a few years while things come down.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. So, for people in the audience who are not familiar with you and familiar with Domain Magnet, can you tell us a little bit about yourself in your own words?
Sure. So I've been involved in with online businesses for about 16 years now. We've buying businesses, selling businesses, like building different websites, managing portfolios of affiliate sites, content sites, SaaS businesses, all kinds of different stuff. I run a company called Domain Magnate, which is a micro private equity firm, and we manage different portfolios of content businesses and SaaS businesses for our funds and investors. And we also provide different services in buying, managing, growing, and selling online businesses. And I also am a partner at Dealflow Brokerage, a business brokerage firm.
Uh-huh. Cool. And when did you start Domain Magnate? How old is that?
So I've been involved in this for quite a while, but officially, I guess we started maybe about 13 years ago, like as this brand as Domain Magnate, and then we incorporated a little bit later. So
okay, makes sense. So you mentioned that Domain Magnate is a micro private equity firm, right? So in layman terms, kind of what does that mean?
Right. So that means we look to acquire businesses under $1 million in value. And that's what all our deals have been so far. And that's mostly content sites and some SaaS and other business types.
Okay. Sorry, what types of businesses was that? I didn't catch that.
Content businesses, uh-huh. Content, affiliate, and also some SaaS okay. Businesses, software as a service.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. That makes sense. So you buy... You essentially buy and manage sites for people. That's one of the services that you offer to, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we find really good deals from our private deal flow. We negotiate, acquire, manage, grow it, and we manage it completely for the investor most of the time, and just distribute the profits.
Okay. So take me through it. So if somebody comes, if I was to come to you and say, I want to buy a site, I'm not sure what I want, but I know I want to have an online presence that kind of makes me money. Like what's the process there? How do you go about identifying my needs and my requirements and then go out to the market?
Yeah, sure. So, right now we have a couple offers. So we are setting up our third fund currently. It's available for all accredited investors with a $120,000 minimum. And we're looking to raise up to 10 million. And that's one option. So we would ask you, first of all, are you looking to participate in the fund, which would allow you more diversification? You would participate in multiple different businesses, kind of a more longer term, but you won't have an opportunity to, let's say, sell early or leave early or anything like that. But you would receive payouts. You would receive quarterly dividends, or we could acquire a business directly for you, and then we would the current minimum is about $150,000 also for that service, and then we would discuss a few more. What are your expectations? What kind of business you'd like to buy and own? Or we can give you some recommendation also. And that's basically the main two services for investors. Yeah.
Okay. So, So what is the process like once you've purchased a site? I guess it might be different slightly for the fund versus the buy and manage, but like what's let's start from the beginning. Like how do you go through the due diligence for kind of buying a site? Like what's the process?
All right, from our perspective, sure. So we have a team, we have a deal team. Currently it's 5-6 people. And that's basically what they do is look for different deals, review things, do a due diligence. And we look everywhere. We look at all the marketplaces, all the brokers. We kind of work with everyone. And also we have connections with pretty much everyone in the industry. But we generally try to buy, we find that the best deals are generally private. So we try to find the deals that are not publicly listed, where people are coming to us directly or we would contact them directly. And often we are getting quite a few like private deals, people who have done deals with us before, they prefer to work with us directly. And so that's how we source deals. Now the next step is we have some preliminary criteria that it has to be a certain type of business, you know, a certain minimum kind of maximum revenue, profit, multiple, all that sort of stuff. And we generally pay market average values. So we would not be looking for deals where the asking price is much higher than the market average multiple. So we would check that the deal fits against that. And then once it fits, and by the way, if your listeners are curious, we could find our current criteria at domainmagnate.com/criteria. That lists the exact details. And then we would try to analyze it deeper. And we have several levels, basically 3 levels of due diligence. So initially we would request Google Analytics access, Google Search Console access. We would look at the traffic. We would analyze the backlinks in Ahrefs and some of the other tools. We would assess mostly we deal with organic Google traffic. We would assess the risks from SEO perspective, the backlink profile, the content quality. So it's kind of the initial things. Also look at any of the other major risks. Like the first step, we want to find sites that just have some major problems so we can eliminate them right away. So sites that maybe breaking some terms of, like using Google AdSense and breaking their terms of service, right? That's something obviously we wouldn't want to deal with. Or sites that have some really, really high risk SEO techniques. So we don't want to deal with those. So we go through that part. Then after that, we start to review things more in depth. We would usually have a call with the seller. If it passes, we would like discuss a little bit more to understand how things work. Often, especially bigger deals, they are not just a simple content site. Like we've had, for example, one of our most recent deals, that the site had about 30 different accounts that came with it. It's like a bit of everything, of course, social accounts, but also all the different tools, and there's different contracts, so it's quite complex. So before we did all that, we had to check what is included, how to manage it, how to operate it. So that's what we do at that second step, kind of understand how to manage it, understand what are the growth opportunities. And we typically aim to try to double the business value in a year. So that's what we look for when we review potential like opportunities for growth. And then we also assess risks. And then at the third stage, we basically do the same. We assess the risks and the opportunities, but we also go deeper into the numbers. And if it's improved by investors or like approved internally, then we would already negotiate the deal. And then the next step is we set up an agreement. The agreement includes all the full details of the transaction, but also like how things are going to be transferred, what exactly is going to be included through some after-sales support. So we try to make the agreement as detailed as possible. And that's it. And then we do a transaction, generally through escrow.com or somewhere else. And we do a transfers. And And once we onboard the website, we pass it over to one of our managers who will be managing it. And then they set up the strategy where we all come together to review it and map out the strategy for the next 12 months. And that's basically how it goes. And once the strategy is in place, the work begins and we start growing it.
Okay.
That's it, the journey of the website through our system.
Now that makes sense. So then I guess the buyer, forget the fund for a minute, we'll cover that in a sec, but like the buyer of, if you're helping somebody buy and manage a website, then, you know, they need some investment ongoing for that, right? So you charge, what do you charge? Do you charge like a fixed management fee or do they, how do they pay for content or whatever you decided needs to be done in the strategy?
Right. So we have a couple of plans. Our current plan is that we charge 35% of the profit and also the covering the expenses. So the expenses, like you mentioned, like buying content, links, things like that, this would be charged on the business. And then we would also take the 35% of the cost as of the profit as our fee. And then we distribute the profits to the investor every 3 months.
Okay, so you take essentially to pay for ongoing promotion of the site or ongoing development of the site, you take it out of the profit that's currently being made from the site or the income that's being made from the site.
Yeah, that's right. So we want to make it, and we keep it simple, we keep it transparent so that it's easy to calculate.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess part of bringing somebody on board is that you need to make sure that they're aligned with your goals of doubling the business and they want to invest in making that happen?
Typically we adapt to the investor. Most investors, we found that they want to grow site more aggressively. Mm-hmm. So most people, surprisingly to me personally, to be honest, they actually asked us to just reinvest all the profits.
Yeah.
We've had quite a few people who just asked to reinvest like all the profits. We don't want profits. We want to make sure that it grows.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you probably know, Mark, with content sites, you can't always do that, right? Like you can't always just get a site and put like $3,000 or $5,000 every month to build that much content or that many links. So we have to be more realistic and just kind of define how much spending we think is optimal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense. Okay. So in terms of the fund, I assume that all comes out of the fund, what you invest in the fund, right? The purchase of the sites, the growing of the sites, that's all included within your $120,000 maybe that you invest.
Yeah, that's right. So with the fund, the structure is, everything, all the costs are put on the individual businesses, and then the investors get 70% of the profit distribution.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a similar system to the typical private equity 2-20, except with us it's like 1-30. But the first year there is a 2% fee, and then subsequent years it's 1%. Management fee, and we take 30% of the profit and distribute 70%. And the objective is similar. We want to find, and like the difference with what we do is we really focus a lot on deals. So we try to find really the best deals what we can, and we put a lot of effort into that. And I kind of think, based on my experience, I believe that that's really the key to success, because right now in this market also there is a huge difference between like relatively good deals, relatively good websites that you can buy, and something that's sort of average or below average.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen the listings on Empire Flippers and some of the other places, and you can see that the gaps are so big.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. I guess what a question there is, like, how, you know, finding good websites actually is quite hard. There's a lot for sale, and similar to when we buy expired domains as well. Like, there's a lot of crap, and we just find the gems, like the ones that are really good. But like, how do you source enough deals for your fund? Like, how do you yeah, what's, I mean, I guess it takes time, right?
Yeah, so there is the current market is we have maybe 3-5 kind of major marketplaces and brokers, right? Like Flipper, Empire Flippers, International, like a few of those in that price range where we operate, which is from like $100,000 to $1 million more or less, right? Mm-hmm. And but that's only the small part of the market, like actually, because it's only the people who want to sell and they want to list and sell with a broker. But there is a lot of people that have different businesses and many of them want to sell and they don't want to deal with a broker or a marketplace because it's a bit complicated. Many of them just want to deal with like a person or a company that they trust. Many of them are not sure if they want to sell or not. So we look at it more strategically and try to figure out where would we find this kind of businesses, what type of businesses those would be, how can we reach out to those people. And that's sort of what our team does. And we do both inbound and outbound marketing. So both trying to attract them to come to us through doing different markets, like for example, podcasts like this. Sometimes bring us sellers as well coming to us directly because people think because like we pay similar amounts to what they would get through a broker but without the fee and with a much faster process. Uh-huh. So we search pretty much everywhere. But yeah, like I mentioned, personally I find that best deals are often private and usually from our own network.
Yeah. So I guess you have a team that's kind of doing that outreach. Like, do you do that at scale and just like, if anybody comes back, then you're like, then you'll evaluate their website at that point? Or is it very targeted? Do you kind of have a team evaluating sites and then you'll outreach when you feel quite confident that the site looks good?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a bit of both. Mm. So we have some outreach where we try to target our businesses in a specific niche, specific industry, and kind of just go and reach out to everyone who fits a certain criteria. And of course, we've called outreach there. The response rate is lower.
Yeah.
And then we also try to find some specific businesses that they think are really good and then just reach out to the owners. And that usually is a much higher response rate. That could be a business that was for sale before somewhere, right?
Uh-huh.
So we do both basically.
Okay, that makes sense. What do you do anything to ensure that your portfolio has some diversity kind of built in? So, for example, you know, if you were to buy all Amazon sites, for example, and they lowered their commission rate, then that wouldn't be very good for the fund. Yeah, what do you do anything in particular to kind of make sure that you've kind of got a mix of businesses and monetization and those kind of things?
Yeah, it's a good question. That's something that's one of the biggest risks in this space. We try to diversify as much as possible. So we want to find the optimal mix between the optimal trade-off between diversifying and also achieving some benefits of scale when you have a group of similar businesses in the same space, in the same niche, the same industry, so you can kind of co-promote them. So we currently deal with content businesses, SaaS and productized service businesses. So that provides some diversity across business types. We mainly look at businesses with organic traffic, but with bigger sites, there's usually some diversity between organic, social, direct, referral, other sources of traffic. And of course, in terms of niches, monetization types, right now we are quite well diversified. We are using most of the major ad platforms and multiple affiliate programs. So we've diversified away from Amazon over the past year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and in terms of you recently, I might be wrong here, but you recently ended your first fund, right? Is that correct? Or
yeah, that's right. That yes, so it ended, and we've published a case study on our website that your listeners could find. You could just Google the Main Magnate Fund 1, because that's easier than saying the link. And yes, we've achieved the 135% return in the first year and a half in that fund. And we've had about $500,000 in invested, $500,000, and acquired 9 sites. So that was mostly smaller deals, like on average are about like $45,000-$50,000 per deal. Now we are doing on the bigger deals from averaging like a couple $100,000.
Okay. So in terms of your fund, so you said in the first year and a half, that's the kind of the return, but congratulations on that, by the way.
Yep.
So what do you, is there a point in time where the fund comes to an end and you kind of sell off all of the assets? Like, well, how does it work in that kind of respect?
Yeah, so that usually depends on the agreement. So this was a family fund, and the fund that we are setting up now, it's quite a different sort of structure, right? So in a family fund, there is a small number of people, and things may be a little bit more flexible, right, compared to the fund that we are setting up now, where everything is fixed, and there is lawyers, there is a, we are using a platform for fund management, so it's quite different.
Okay, so is there, sorry, I might have missed it, but is there an end point at any point that kind of, right, where the fund finishes?
Yeah, so for the upcoming fund, we have a 5-year term.
Okay.
For the first fund, we didn't have a clear sort of term, but basically it was agreed that we would finish it at around 1.5-2 years, more or less, and that's more or less what happened. So now we are just, we've sold off most of the assets. There is just a few small assets that we are selling off and sort of liquidating the fund, because that's what the investors wanted. That's what we agreed upon.
Okay. Great. And then they just get a share of that when the sale is made, right? And who agrees on like, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And then the profits are distributed quarterly, and, we distribute the profits upon sale of each asset, and
okay. And then I guess it's up to you kind of what price you sell for. Like the investors don't have any kind of real say in that. They just trust your judgment, right? I guess.
Well, we discuss it. We are transparent with things, but I mean, I usually we explain them. This is more or less the market price. This is what we expect to get, and that's it. I mean, we cannot expect us to sell at like triple the market price.
Yeah.
So they're generally realistic as well.
Okay.
And if content sites, like it's pretty straightforward. So it's easy to know what the price range in the market now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess you have, I guess you only have a small number of people actually. It's not like it's hundreds of people in the fund, like it's just a handful, right?
Yeah. We have only 4 in the first fund. So it's easier.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, so if people want to get involved in like the next, so you're raising money now, do you say?
Yep, we are.
And if people want to get involved, and how many slots do you have available? I guess, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the we are looking to raise up to $10 million with the 120 minimum. So and they have to be accredited investors. So we have to check that. They can find out more by going to themainmagnatecapital.com.
Okay. Awesome. And is there kind of any planned start date, or is it just whenever you kind of get the funding kind of settled and sorted?
Yeah, the start is once we reach the minimum that's defined as 1.5 million. So that's, once we reach that, we can start deploying the capital and buying that, the fund officially started.
Okay. You don't have to answer this question, but like how many slots have you sold so far? Like how much have you raised to date?
Yeah, sure. So we have about half is attributed.
Okay.
So about half and in commitments. And we haven't actually started our marketing campaign for it. So we are just starting it. Now, probably from next month, we are starting to really market it to to our list. Now, there's so far you've only kind of mentioned it here and there.
Okay, that makes sense. I noticed on your site you have kind of a tab for like projects, our projects, which lists a whole sure. host of sites. Like, what is that? Is that some of the sites you're managing? Is that some of the sites in the portfolio or a bit of each? What is that?
Oh, that's something we probably haven't updated in some time. But it's basically, yeah, the idea was to keep our projects that we've managed before, that we've owned and that we've sold. So it pretty much lists the projects that we've had or we have right now or we have sold. So kind of, it does not list some of our bigger sites because of different like NDAs and different agreements that we cannot disclose them currently. But yeah, it's just something to provide people a good idea of what kind of sites we have and manage.
Okay, that makes sense. Cool. And so just to like cover off kind of, you also offer a due diligence service, right? Is that just, that's not the managed part after, it's just to helping people buy and then they take it on themselves. Is that right?
Yeah, we do that. We haven't had a lot of interest in it, to be honest. So we just keep it as a side in case with something that the customers really need. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So in terms of the business, is there anything I've missed off there that like you'd like to talk about or cover? Or have we covered most of what you think would be
interesting? I think
it's
pretty good, Carol. And another service we have is we offer people to manage their businesses. So people who come with existing highly profitable businesses and they want someone to help and grow it and improve. That's another thing we do. But basically, yeah, to keep it short, our main thing is just finding good deals, buying businesses and then growing them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess what would be interesting is to, if you could share some of the successes, but I'm sure it hasn't always been successes. So if you could hear about some of the hard times or some of the failures, if you like, that you've had along the way doing this.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Failures, plenty. It's been, you know, a few hundred deals over the past 15 or 16 years. And some were quite painful failures. Like there was this time that I acquired a website for $10,000, maybe 5 years ago or so. And I basically lost about $10,000 on that.
Right.
So that happens too.
Yeah. So what, did it get hit by an update or something?
Yeah, it got hit by an update just right away, basically, like a few weeks after.
Yeah.
And it was making, I think, like $1,000 per month. Back then, the multiples were very different. It was making about $1,000 per month, and then it got hit after like a week or two, and it was just making almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and that was it. And I think I got back maybe like $500, like less than $1,000 from the revenues.
Yeah.
That happens too. It doesn't happen nowadays with our bigger sites, but we did have a few sites that we've acquired all the past couple of years that were quite high risk and that dropped in the Google updates. So that happens too sometimes. Generally, nowadays we no longer buy sites with like more aggressive SEO.
Yeah.
We also have a few case studies available on our website that people could find on our blog.
Sure. So would you say in general then, you know, the bigger sites are just generally more resilient to updates?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's an interesting point, Mark. So on one side, the bigger sites are more resilient for sure, because they're generally older, they have more like age, they're usually built with higher quality. People don't just like slap something around to sell it.
Yeah.
Additionally, we would generally spend more time on it. So we would do more research. We would put more resources into reviewing it, so that reduces the possibility of a mistake. But another thing is, and I'm curious to hear your opinion on that I found that most sites, there is like a certain mark, certain threshold that most sites never cross because they just like not quality enough. maybe that's somewhere around $100,000, maybe like $200,000, something like that. But you see a lot of sites that are below that in terms of value. And very few of them cross over, because in order to cross over for Google to give you sort of enough traffic, enough authority, you really have to have something much higher level in terms of content and traffic and all the structure around the business.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Like, there's a ceiling to some extent of how far you can go. But yeah, I would definitely say that. I think it's almost like you can't get to a certain authority level, like, unless you're doing there's certain tactics and stuff that you're doing that will only get you to a certain authority level. You can carry on building links and maybe your authority doesn't really go up, for example, or you can carry on building content and it doesn't really make too much difference. But yeah, I would agree with that probably.
I think it also might have to do with age. So we generally noticed that sites that are making more revenue, they are older, like 5, 7, 10 years old. So it's not common to see like a 2-year-old site that's worth like $500,000.
Yeah. I think it's a bit like the theory of evolution, I suppose. If they got this far and they're 10 years old and they haven't died yet, then they're probably okay. Yeah. They're probably good. So
yeah, that's also true. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess Google will have killed them along the way if they wouldn't have got to the size they're at if they weren't. And that's probably why they're more resilient longer term. Because they made it that far in the first place. Yeah, I guess you mentioned kind of some of the success stories that you've had in terms of the fund. I find this kind of business kind of interesting. And every time I think about, that'd be quite interesting to kind of get involved in, not from a contributing to the fund, but like doing what you're doing, is that, the risk there that kind of things could go wrong. And I'm sure that it hasn't always been rosy when you've bought sites for people on their behalf and then things haven't necessarily turned out like, the example you gave with your insight with the $10,000 one, like, how do you kind of like, what's your process for like, you buy a site for somebody on their behalf, you've done all the due diligence, it all looks good. And then it just, the Google update comes along or something changes, which means they don't, maybe they lose a third of their traffic or something. Like, what do you do? Do you put into some, do you help them with like contingency plans and like start to plan their way kind of out of, and recovering from things like that?
Yeah, that's an interesting point to discuss. And that was my biggest fear when we decided to start taking some investment capital about 3 years ago, like 2.5 and 3 years ago. Before that, all our portfolio, everything was just self-funded on our own. And then we started working with investors, and that was always the fear, right? What do you do then things go south? How do you explain it? So the first thing is we have a criteria. We make sure that every person we work with the buy manage or similar investments, that they really understand the risks. And I found many people, Mark, who come into this industry, they kind of look at it as real estate. With real estate, you can't lose. I mean, it's, you can, but it's very hard to lose most of your money. You invest in a property. Something really major has to happen for you to lose a substantial amount from that. Well, in this business, it's very easy. It happens all the time. So first of all, we make sure that people understand that the investors understand the risks very well. Now the second part is we are transparent. We provide monthly updates of how the website is doing. We provide quarterly detailed updates of how the website is performing, what are we doing, how are we growing it, what is our plan. And we've had those cases when we had to explain to an investor that the website had dropped quite a bit and it lost some money. It doesn't happen very often. But unfortunately, in maybe 1 out of 10 cases, it does happen, even despite like our best efforts in due diligence and growth. Mm. So there is nothing else you can really do. Just be transparent and explain things, and that's it.
Yeah,
it's just like any investment. There are risks. Yeah.
Yeah, risks and reward. Yeah, there's no guarantees. Like any site get affected. I think we've learned that, especially over the last couple of years with Google. Like, it's not always clear like why some sites win and some sites lose, but you can't predict it always.
Yeah, there are also things that are unpredictable. Like, for example, the medic update a couple of years ago, it just hit all health-related sites across the board, even if you had a really good quality site. So there are things you just can't predict, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I think it'd be really good to just cover off some of the reasons, you know, why online business is a great investment and why people should consider it. Why would anyone consider getting involved in, investing in an online property?
Yeah, I think it's one of the fastest growing areas right now. When I was starting out in this space, there were no marketplaces, no brokers, nothing. The only way to buy a website would be either to email the owner directly, or go on a forum and try to see if anyone is selling, like on a webmaster forum. Nowadays, it's become so much more evolved. But at the same time, it's still very much in its infancy. So there are many, many opportunities and gaps available. That's on one side. And besides that, of course, the average multiples right now for online businesses are somewhere around 3 times the annual profit, sometimes a bit more, sometimes a bit less. There is variation, but I would say that's more or less the average. And that means that you are getting 33% return annually right away when you acquire a business. So there are not that many options to get a return like that these days. And additionally, it's really important that the skills play a major role here. So someone who doesn't know what they are doing is very unlikely to be successful with buying and growing an online business, while someone who is very experienced would be a lot more likely to succeed in that. So there are certain risks and there is some unpredictability, but generally the skill, the expertise play a major role in that. And so I think it's a really good opportunity for investors who are looking to diversify their portfolio because it's growing rapidly. The multiples are growing right now. So you can buy at one multiple and a few years later, possibly sell at a substantially higher multiple. Yeah. There are many deals available and the market is still quite inefficient. So if you know how to identify those inefficiencies, you can benefit quite a bit.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's still very much in its infancy, really, despite the fact you've been doing it for a decade now, right? So, or more. But I mean, that's what I always tell people as well, is like, you know, what investment have you got where in like 3 years you can kind of get your money back, like, and still have the asset? Like, you basically double your money in kind of 3 years. Like, there's not many. You certainly can't do that with property, but there's not many that will allow you to do that.
Yeah, and it's also relatively easy to get into. And my recommendation usually is for people, if they're new to it, to start with something smaller. Start with buying a smaller site and just see how that goes. And then as you learn the basics, go look for something bigger.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I agree, like it's pretty easy to get into. I think anyone can do it, even by... Obviously, keyword research and things really help, but even by a little bit of luck, if you kind of pick a topic and you start writing stuff on it, there's, you know, you got every chance of kind of, you know, there's plenty of people that kind of we work with that, well, aren't really SEO people, but they're bloggers and they've found success just through blogging naturally and organically about what they're interested in. And of course, you know, if you can target it and do some keyword research and build SEO into the site, it's going to be much more likely to succeed. But, you know, even doing that, you know, we help people with that whole process of kind of getting started, set up, keyword research, and then we can just kind of go. And really, you know, people overcomplicate this whole process of building sites, but really what it comes down to is keyword research, create good content, build some links when you need some authority further down the road. It's not rocket science, really.
Yeah, and if you just simplify it, all you have to have is better content and better links than your competitors, more or less, and then you'll be ranking better after some time.
Okay. In terms of, is there anything else that's that you'd kind of cite as like a good reason to kind of get into online businesses?
Nothing else come to mind.
Yeah, cool. I guess that it can be pretty passive is another good thing, especially if somebody like you is kind of managing it for you. You can kind of be pretty hands-off as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, in terms of managed, yeah, but also it's, I think it's important to understand that most websites, if you buy them and don't do anything, they will generally just drop, like traffic will just drop, that you always have to do some updates. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But yeah, absolutely. It can be quite passive, especially compared to an offline business, which would be a lot more involved.
Yeah. And what I love about the business model as well is that, you know, once you're earning a certain level of income, you don't have to put any more new money in. You might have to put money in to start with, but then it just starts paying for itself. So you just can build your asset bigger and bigger over time, without continually have to invest new money. It's just paying for itself, its own growth, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, it is. That's a good point, that you don't have to put a lot of money into it. It's relatively low cost to start. It's low cost to grow. And you can do it all from the comfort of your home. You don't have to. Everything can be done and managed online, remotely, from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for your time today, Michael. It's been really nice speaking with you. Where should people go if they want to follow you some more?
Well, thanks, Mark. I invite your listeners to check out our podcast also. It's called The Main Magnate Show. It's available on YouTube and Spotify and everywhere you get your podcasts. To learn more about us, go to themainmagnate.com or check out my personal website, michaelbrislavsky.com. And they also welcome to follow me anywhere on Facebook or LinkedIn. If you have any questions, you can just ask me directly through Facebook, LinkedIn, or through email, michael@themainmagnate. Happy to help.
Great. Well, thanks for that. Yeah, we'll put all of those links in the show notes so people can access them easily. But thanks once again for joining us, and have a good day.
Thanks, Mark. Good to chat.
Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, as this will allow us to grow our audience and create more shows like this one. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click on the bell to be the first to know about any new episodes that we release. Until the next episode, goodbye.